deacons, everybody preach around here. I thought I could duck duty for a while, but he corroborated last Sunday. He said, wrong church. Praise God. But we do not shrink from ministering God's word or whatever duties he have for us. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, righteous and eternal God, our Father, Lord, we just praise and bless you. And thank you, Lord, for all this, that great people, Lord. Now, another opportunity to in fellowship, Lord, worship you. We praise, O God, you, Savior, for bringing us together, and Lord, for dispensing your word unto us, Lord, and we pray that thou wilt dispense it, Lord, internalizingly unto this thy people. Be thou glorified in all things, O Lord, we pray, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going back to the book of 2 Timothy, the first chapter, and we're going to take verses 8 through 11 as a context. I probably won't make it through all of it again today as I didn't the last time out, but as a text and a context, we're going to take 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And we're going to ask you to turn there with me. Everyone have it. Please say amen. Amen. Our pastor is our designated reader. Pastor, I think we'll read from the King James Version first. No, that's quite a bit. We have time. Let's go to King James Version first, Pastor, and then we'll read it from the interlinear Greek text.
It's 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse...
Beginning verse 8.
Beginning at verse 8.
Mm-hmm. Through 11.
Through 11.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, first from the King James.
Mm-hmm.
Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord,
mm-hmm.
nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel
mm-hmm.
according to the power of God,
yes.
who has saved us
mm-hmm.
and calls with an holy calling,
mm-hmm.
not according to our works, but yes. according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
I want you to listen to the words of this text. What we have, when it was given, what was given. Amen. All right, verse 10, Pastor.
But now it's made manifest
mm-hmm.
by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
who has abolished death and has brought life and mm-hmm. immortality to light
mm-hmm.
through the gospel.
Through the gospel. Uh-huh.
Verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a teacher and an apostle
mm-hmm.
and a teacher of the Gentiles.
Now, I want you to notice the ending of verse 10 and all of verse 11. It said, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. We're going to get more of that later. All right, from the interlinear Greek text, Pastor, 1 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 11.
2 Timothy chapter
2
1,
Timothy. Mm-hmm.
verse 8 from the Greek text,
mm-hmm.
the Greek interlinear. Not therefore be thou ashamed,
yes,
the testimony of the Lord of us,
mm-hmm.
nor me, the prisoner of him.
Prisoner of him.
But suffer ill with the gospel.
Suffer ill with the gospel.
According to power of God,
mm-hmm.
of thee having saved us.
Saved us.
And having called, calling with a holy,
mm-hmm.
not according to the works of us.
Repeat that, Pastor. Not
Not according to the works of us.
Not according to the works of us. He saved us. He called us. But it's not according to or on account of the works of us. Mm-mm. All right?
But according to his...
But according to his...
own purpose.
Own purpose.
And grace.
And grace.
Given to us.
Given to us.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus when?
Before times.
Before times.
Eternal.
Eternal. Remember that 24-digit number I read to you, displayed to you last Sunday, Sunday before last? Even that does not scratch the surface of eternity. Not in number of years, nor in number of ages. Time has no place in eternity. But more on that later. Go ahead and finish, Pastor.
Verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
But manifested now.
But manifested now.
Through the appearance of the saving of us, Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Abrogating on the one hand.
Abrogating on the one hand.
Death.
Mm-hmm.
Bring into light.
Bring into light.
On the other.
On the other hand.
Life.
Life. Win-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
My Lord.
Yes.
And incorruption.
And incorruption.
Through the gospel.
Through the gospel.
For which.
For which.
Was appointed I.
Was appointed I.
A herald.
A herald.
And an apostle.
And an apostle.
And a teacher.
And a teacher. All right. Now, I didn't use the Gentiles there, but I assure you, and we shall see it shortly, that he was talking about the Gentiles. Now, here's some information. We're going to have to back it up, of course. In order to get the right and true information and facts regarding us in this period of God's dealing, we have to go to the right source. In order to get the right information in this period of time in God's dealing with us, we have got to go to the right source of information. Accordingly, if we go into portions of the Bible that are not addressed specifically to us, and claim the blessings therein, of course, we conveniently disregard all the cursing that go along with it. Amen. If we seek to follow the directives of those portions not speaking to us, or if we try to lay claim to the promises of those areas of the Bible not addressing us, then we are bound to get a flawed, distorted, and unfactual view. We won't know because we're in the wrong portion. We're in portion that's not talking to us. If we do that, there's no way we'll know where we stand. We won't know who we are. We won't know whose we are. We won't know when we became who and whose we are. Amen. We won't know what's ours. Amen. We won't know what's not ours. We see that in the church world all over today. Amen. We won't know what we have, if anything at all, Amen. Nor where it is. We won't know where it is if we have it. We won't know what's happening to us in this natural realm, in our minds, in our spirits, in our course of life. We won't understand what's going on. When troubles hit, problems occur, doors close, amen, things raging around us, we won't know where we stand. We'd be just as shaky as the world. We won't know any of these things unless we access and follow closely our directives, mm-hmm. our covenant, mm-hmm. our contract, and yes, our gospel. Now, scripturally, to substantiate those views, beginning at verse 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to use corroboration here today. Sometime we corroborate from what's within Paul's epistles, our gospel, and we'll prove that that's our gospel shortly. And sometime we corroborate from outside of ours or our gospel, which was delivered unto Paul for us. Corroborations means to bring in testimony from another place to confirm or strengthen or add to what is the main testimony. All right. An emphatic negative particle starts verse 8. Not, Paul says to Timothy, not. Therefore, ashamed, and this is what we call an imperative aorist, and it's in the passive voice. It's a past completed command. Paul's epistles are impregnated with many aorist tenses. So I might as well get out what it means right now. The aorist tense is stronger than the English present tense, our past tense. Amen. The English past tense means something that happened in the past. The Greek aorist tense, in which what we call the New Testament was written, the aorist tense means not only did it happen in the past, but it was finished. It was completed. Yes. It was done. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, all right. So God gave here an imperative aorist, a past completed command. Mm-hmm. And it's in the passive voice. So Timothy, not being ashamed, is according to God and not Timothy.
Amen.
Same thing with us here today. Praise God. Our being held in Christ, our continuing, our being glorified, our remaining saved is not contingent on us or anything we can do or muster out of us. It depended on God. Not therefore ashamed of the testimony or the witness. Testimony is simply the declaration which confirms or makes a thing known. Now we're going to get a little technical here. Praise God. This is a noun, and it's in what we call again in the Greek, in the accusative case. And it's singular. Again, the New Testament was not written in English. It was written in Greek. And it was translated into English. So if you want to get the exactness of what the scripture is teaching, you have to go to the original source or the original language.
Amen.
Not to be saved, but to get the thorough and exact conveyance of what's being said.
Amen.
So you can for surely know where you stand. The accusative case is the case of the direct object. So what Paul is saying here to Timothy, it was no accident that this is in the accusative case. And it's singular. He is saying, not therefore ashamed of the specific testimony, not knees, a specific testimony or volume of truth.
Amen.
The testimony of the Lord of us, nor of me, the prisoner of him. But rather suffer ill with the good news. Now, you know most preachers today, they're not going to suffer ill. In other words, Paul is telling Timothy, what you see happening to me is subject to happen to you. We have it right here. Pastor tells us, say, look out, gentlemen. Amen. God is not going to give you this great knowledge without some suffering. Praise God. Amen. Paul was shipwrecked. Everywhere he went, they wanted to kill him. If they couldn't kill him, they threw him in jail and tried to kill him as soon as he got out. Praise God. The average minister today is not bent, intent on suffering. There's so much preaching of what the people want to hear.
I hear you.
Praise God.
I hear you.
If they feel if they don't give the people what they want and tell the people what they hear, want to hear, then they will not be able to maintain the things that they have amassed.
I hear you.
He won't be able to keep the great big house. Nothing wrong with a big house. He won't be able to maintain the aircraft, nor the Bentley. So they give the people what they want, so that the people will come, and coming they will give. But Paul is telling Timothy, suffer ill with, in other words, wheresoever the Lord takes you in the preaching of this gospel, suffer with it. Be ready for it. Give yourself to it. Because it's not you doing, it's God's doing. And that say something to us today. We don't always get the job we want. We don't always stay on it as long as we want.
I hear you.
We don't always amass the things we want to amass before we retire. Mm-hmm. We don't always retire.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Things do not always go our way. But the course is of God and it's not ours.
Yes,
it's not ours to choose.
Yes.
Why do you think in the kingdom gospel they prayed the prayer, Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, as a corroborator.
Amen.
But we want our will to be done most of the time, and we want it done quick. Praise God. All right. I said some things there, and the scripture is backing me up. So what we're going to do is we're going to corroborate. Before I go further, Pastor and saints, will you please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to take verses 1 through 6. I've been talking about the right and specific information that's ours. All of the Bible is for us, but all of the Bible is not specifically to us. We saw the accusative case there, and the accusative case and the definite article is the accusative. And it's singular. Not gospels or testimonies, but a specific testimony that Paul is telling Timothy to suffer ill with and not be ashamed of. We have a specific diet of gospel truth for us in what we call this dispensation. Pastor, if you have it, would you please begin reading at Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to go all the way to the end of verse 6.
Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 3 rather.
Chapter 3.
From the King James.
Let's do it from the King James.
All right. For this cause, beginning in verse 1, for this cause I Paul. The prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles.
The prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Christ is holding me for a work, for a mission, for a course, and it's involving Gentiles primarily. Verse 2, Pastor.
Verse 2, If you have heard of the dispensation.
If you have heard what? Of the dispensation?
Of the grace of God.
Of the grace of God.
Which is given me.
Which is given me.
To you.
To Lord. You. Lord. Now. The word heard is in the plural because he's talking to many. It's in the aorist tense in an indicative mood. That means the hearing, the Gentiles' hearing, was not out of them or of them. It was a foreordained decree of God in eternity that the Gentiles would hear. Then heard of, now we're getting back to that thing we call the accusative case. The accusative case is the case of the direct object. It's not the off-angle object, zigzag object. It's the case of the direct specific object. Amen. The definite article, the, is in the accusative case and it's singular. So he's not talking about but one. Dispensation. The dispensation is in the accusative case and again singular. Of the grace of God showing ownership is singular. Grace is in the genitive case showing ownership is singular. Of God. The dispensation of the grace of God. A specific dispensation was given Paul for a specific people. Amen. Which is given me to you all. It was given Paul to dispense to the Gentiles. And that brings me to my next point or area. We are in the grace dispensation. You're not in the dispensation of law. You're not in the dispensation of kingdom.
I hear you.
You're in a specific, according to the accusative case, singular, specific dispensation, and it's the grace of God.
Amen.
In God's word, there are, again, seven such dispensations revealed in the Bible. I think it ought to be told you what a dispensation is. A dispensation can be termed an economy. It can be termed an administration. It can be termed a house rule, the rule of the house. In Washington, D.C., we are presently under the Bush administration or dispensation. Like it or not. In the State House, we are under the Granholm dispensation, like it or not. Same thing with your respective cities. The mayor is the head, and his cabinet, the head ups that dispensation. All right, we have seven such. Every dispensation has three things in it. It has the contract of that dispensation. It has the gospel or good news of that dispensation. And it has God's elect of that dispensation. Every dispensation has it. We got seven of them revealed in the Word of God. I just took you to Ephesians to substantiate preaching, dispensational preaching. And it's of the grace of God to substantiate this gospel. First dispensation we meet with in the Bible is innocence. The covenant for that dispensation is called the Edenic Covenant. It was a bilateral covenant. The federal head was Adam. God said of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat but one, bilateral. Eat. And you die. Don't eat, you live. Bilateral. Next one was conscience after Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit. You have the Adamic covenant. Right on the heels of cursing, God pronounced blessing. That was bilateral still. Next, dispensation or God's dealing or the house rule or the administrative rule that God is dealing with his elect in is human government. In it, the contract is the Noahic covenant or contract. It was unilateral. One, God put all the incumbency of maintaining the dispensation of his elect on him. Praise God. In it, God told Noah to build a boat. And don't pay heavy attention to this, the way it's worded in the King James Version when it says that, "For thee only have I found righteous before me." Any righteousness, saints, is of God.
Amen.
For all have sinned and come up short of the glory of God.
Yes.
Noah and his family went into the boat, and the Lord shut them in. Lord said, who would go in? And obviously, who couldn't go in? You, your wife,
Amen.
Your three sons, and their wives. Nobody else went in. What, you think now we choose to get in God? No, saints. The Lord still chooses who's in, or has chosen rather, who's in and who's not in. It don't make no difference what we think. God did the choosing. Now about that Noah righteousness. As soon as the waters assuaged, Noah planted a vineyard. And when the vineyard grew grapes, he didn't make Welch's. He made aged grape juice and got drunk, as expression Cooter Brown. And he was so drunk till he come out of his clothes. And that comes the saying that a drunk ain't about much. And I know it to be the truth. Praise God. So the righteousness was of God. God chose Noah. Noah didn't, amen, attain to anything in the eyes of God. Next one, next dispensation, is promise. And in it we have the Abrahamic covenant. Abraham was the federal head. God said, come out from amongst your kindred to a land I show you, and I'll make of you a great nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in thee. Jews and Gentile nations will be blessed in thee. And don't you think for one moment that we are spiritual Israel or that we have Abraham's blessing. We're going to get to that. Next one we have is law. Moses come up into the mountain. Amen. Hew tablets of stone and I will write my commandments on them. If ye keep my commandments, then ye shall be, amen, a holy nation before me. If you keep my commandments. It was a bilateral covenant. I'm going to skip over the grace for right now. We're going to kingdom. Kingdom. Dispensation. In it, you have the fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise. You have the Davidic covenant. You have the Palestinian covenant, giving God's people the land. And you have the new covenant because they had broken the old. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the federal head. Federal mean league. The league was made primarily with and through the federal head and passed on unto the other elect of that dispensation. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ did not preach the gospel of the grace of God. He ministered that or served that or appointed that to the Apostle Paul. Our Lord Jesus Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom. John the Baptist and Matthew, and y'all can feel free to take notes. I know we don't have a great big fancy choir and television cameras, but you can take notes. In Matthew 3:1-2, John the Baptist came saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, an earthly kingdom. Later on, in Matthew 4:17, our Lord Jesus came preaching the same message.
Amen.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king had came on the scene and ready to set up the domain or kingdom. He was there. It's near. It's at hand. In Matthew 4 and 23, the Bible said, and Jesus taught in their synagogues and preached the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew 10, verses 1 through 8, the Lord Jesus sent out his 12 disciples, who were later apostles, and Judas was there with them. Paul was not there. Praise God. And he told them, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Don't take this message, this kingdom gospel, unto the Gentiles. Don't even take it now to the half-breed Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king was in place. He had come on the scene. Hallelujah. Then, in Acts chapter 20 and 24, here's the great divide. Paul said, the testimony that I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
Yes.
Paul did not preach the gospel of the kingdom. That was reserved unto those, amen, in the kingdom era, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right. Now, going back to our context, we have a specific message. For a specific people. And it's primarily, that people are primarily made up of Gentiles. Matter of fact, when, as Pastor alluded to it earlier, when the Lord knocked Paul off his horse, off his beast, as he was headed to get a load of Christians and take them, persecute them. Praise God, the Lord knocked him off his beast, and then he told Ananias to go and pray for one Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And Ananias, you were not on to go either. Ananias said, Lord, we heard of many of this man, how he persecute those that believe on your name. And the Lord told him, said, go, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. This is all God's doing, saints. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before first he put the Gentiles. Then he said kings. Then he said the children of Israel. Because the Gentile ministry is what we just read in Ephesians. Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. First and foremost. And then a sprinkling of Jews come in. We see it even today. Hallelujah. We have Jews that are sprinkled in that believe on Jesus, but the nation as a whole is blinded. You go out there and wherever the synagogues are and talking about Jesus, they will certainly usher you out. Hallelujah. They don't believe as a nation on Christ right now. But Paul's ministry was to primarily the Gentiles. Okay, we're going to use further corroboration. The kingdom gospel message is not our message, just like Bill of Boat is not our gospel. Like coming out from your kinfolk, it ain't a bad idea sometimes, but coming out from your kindred and I make you a great nation is not our gospel. We have a specific gospel message. And all the Bible lumped together and served to God's people in this dispensation of grace is not the gospel. We have a specific testimony. We have a specific good message or good news or gospel. We're going to prove that. Pastor, would you turn with me? We won't have to take the Greek text this time. Saints, turn with me to Acts the 15th chapter. And firstly, we're going to take verses 1 through 5. Acts chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. See, God's people, it was just talked about in the pastor's pen and verbally. God's people are some of the most gullible uninformed on earth. We will go for the okey-doke in anything. If somebody put on a fancy suit, a long enough robe, wear his hand a certain way and have a certain oratorical ability, we'll go for it. But saints of God, and then we'll exercise ourselves in the sciences. We'll take math that I ain't never even heard of, and English and all the literature. But we, when it comes to understanding God's word, we shy back from it. We want somebody to tell us. But we've got to understand for ourselves, whether it's attending the Sunday Bible school or digging in ourselves and praying to the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Amen. That we understand what's to us rather than what's just for us. We're talking about two different gospels here. And I just showed you the ones that preached this first gospel. John the Baptist, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the 12 apostles preached the gospel of the kingdom. Now let's see the divide in the testimony in the gospels. Beginning at verse 1 to 15 chapter of Acts, Pastor, please read.
From the Greek text?
We're going to take it from the King James, Pastor.
All right, from the King James. Acts chapter 15, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
And certain men which came down from Judea talked to brethren and said.
Now, what happened, Paul had been preaching in this area, and then men came from the apostles in Jerusalem, in Judea, and began to teach behind Paul and those that were with him. They brought in a different message, which you shall see. All right, so they taught the brethren and said,
Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved.
You cannot be saved. Haven't that happened to you in your life? Amen. You ever spoke in tongues? You know, if you don't have tongues, you can't get the Holy Ghost. And you ain't say, hey, you loving the Lord, praising God. And then somebody come and tell you, you ain't your old self, even though semblances of old self crop up now and again to let you know you're still in the flesh. And then somebody come along and tell you, unless you get it like this, you ain't saved. Isn't that the most disheartening thing?
Amen.
Those brethren were loving the Lord and rejoicing, and these Judaizers, which were saved, but preaching a different message. See, the kingdom church was in play before the grace church. And these brethren believe on Jesus. And the apostles mainly stayed in Jerusalem, mostly or partly, for fear. And yes, it was ordained of God. All right, so they said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved. Uh-huh.
When therefore Paul and Barnabas... had no small dissension.
Dissension.
And disputation.
And disputation with them. They went to verbal war.
I hear you.
They went down with it. I believe they came short, that short of blows.
Amen.
No, you ever had no small disputation with somebody in traffic?
Mm-hmm.
On the sidewalk when you were in your car? Or both of y'all on the sidewalk? No small disputation on the phone with them. Uh-huh. And they?
They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question.
About this question. Paul and them were preaching the gospel of the grace of God, and they come down preaching law kingdom. Law, kingdom, wrong gospel. You say, well, isn't that what Peter preached to Cornelius? Yes. Yes. He legitimately, in the 10th chapter of Acts, preached it, the gospel of the kingdom, to Cornelius and his family. The gospel of the kingdom is underlined or underwritten by prophecy. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and all the like. The gospel of the kingdom is underlined by prophecy.
Amen.
The mystery which was revealed exclusively to the Apostle Paul is not underlined nothing but the will of God. It was revealed to no one until it came to the Apostle Paul through Revelation. Hallelujah. That's one great difference and one great divide. All right, Pastor, go ahead. Verse 3.
And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring and the conversation of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brothers.
All right, they were declaring the conversion of the Gentiles and brought great joy unto other brethren that were saved.
And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles.
Hold up, Pastor. This is not the grace church. This is not the church of today. This is the kingdom church. The apostles and others that believed on the Lord Jesus through the gospel of the kingdom. This is the church that they came to. We today in the grace church are members of Christ's own body. You won't find that nowhere else in the Bible. Nowhere. That any other entity is a member of Christ's body. Nowhere but us in this present dispensation of grace. Read on, Pastor.
And of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them.
All right, verse 5.
But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying,
you saw that? Pharisees which believed. They believed on Jesus. All right.
It was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses.
That's what they said. Just like somebody tell you, you got to be baptized. You got to repeat the sinner's prayer. You got to be on the mourner's bench. Or some other, you got to tarry. That's likened unto that. All right, so in verse 6, Pastor.
And apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter.
All right, let's drop down to verse 10 in the interest of time.
Now therefore,
this is Peter talking after they had discussed the matter. Remember, they brought it to see what the apostles up there said, would say. Their opinion on it. All right. After they had discussed the matter.
Now, therefore, why tempt you God?
Peter said, why tempt ye God?
To put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples.
To put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples.
Which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear.
Neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. We're not able to bear the yoke of the law. Saints, we are under the grace administration, dispensation, and the grace gospel. All right, let's go, Pastor, to verses 23 through 29. Same chapter. No, they don't go there. Yes, it does. Verses 23 through 29.
Acts chapter 15, verse 23. And they wrote letters by them.
All right, the apostles and the brethren wrote letters.
After this manner.
After this manner.
The apostles and elders and brothers.
Now these are the letters that go into the Gentiles.
Greetings.
Apostles, elders, brother, send greeting.
Unto the brethren,
which are of.
The Gentiles.
The Gentiles.
And Antioch. And Syria. And Cilicia.
Yes.
For as much as we have heard that certain went down out of us. That troubled you with words. Subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment.
We didn't tell them to go and teach that. All right?
It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord.
Yes.
To send chosen men unto you with our beloved
Barnabas
and Paul.
And Paul. Send chosen men from us with you to confirm what we have, our decision. All right?
Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right.
We have sent, therefore, Judas and
Silas,
who shall also tell you the same things by mouth.
Now you know how Silas get with Paul in jail. they sent one of them with him. Mm-hmm. With him from Jerusalem. All mm-hmm. right?
For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost
uh-huh.
and to us
uh-huh.
to lay upon you no greater burden
no
than
greater
these
burden
necessary
than
things.
Than these necessary things. All right? Which were godly exhortations only. Not doctrine on how you are to be saved. And what were they, Pastor?
That you abstain from meats offered to idols.
All right, even Paul talked about
and
that.
And from blood.
From blood.
And from things strangled. And from fornication. From which, if you keep
yourselves,
you shall do
well.
Fare ye well.
End of the matter. End of the matter. Two different gospels. Now let's go to the book of Galatians, the second chapter. For a further corroboration, we're going to take verses 1 through 10. All of the Bible, dear saints, is not to you for your benefit, but it's not to you as teaching directives. Yours is in the gospel of the grace of God, the mystery. If we don't know what's ours, we'll be looking in the wrong place for blessing. We'll be expecting something that we ought not be expecting. We'll be trying to do something that we ought not be doing. If we don't get the right directives, we'll be a lost ball in high weeds. There are two separate gospels that are mainly being preached around the world today. The gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God, but they are mainly in most assemblies mixed, part grace and part works. If praise God, in the gospel of the kingdom, if you don't forgive others, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. A condition on it. Conditions have no place in grace. Grace don't only mean without merit or works. It means no merit. No merit. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, don't run to Romans 10 and 9 and 10. Honey, you got the exegete that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, as though you are doing something. You have to exegete. If you exegeted Romans 10, 9 and 10, you will see that you are only doing when you confess and you are believing, you are only doing what God has already, aorist tense, completed in eternity. That's all you're doing. It's not coming out of you. The faith, the believing, the confessing, it's not out of you. God has already done that. You have a complete salvation. And it's not dependent on us to get it, not dependent upon us to maintain it. Hallelujah. You know how we are every day. Day in, day out. Sometimes we up. Sometimes we're down, mostly down. Hallelujah. All right. Galatians, to further show you, God, people need teaching more than preaching. To further show you that there are two distinct gospels. One is yours and the other is not yours. I don't care where it's being preached and what big names are preaching it. It's not our gospel. We're going to see what is. Again, continually see what is ours and what's not ours. The gospel of the kingdom, its focus is on the earth.
Yes.
Earthly kingdom and the things of the earth. Abraham's blessing were physical. Why do you think so many people run back there? They want mucho blessings. That's why they run back there. They try to grab the promises and the blessings of Abraham. I'll show you where our blessings are. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We may get there, we may not. All right. Pastor, begin reading. Let's go to the interlinear Greek text since we smack dab into the epistle of Paul, our gospel. Pastor, from the interlinear Greek text, begin reading at Galatians chapter 2, and we will go all the way to verse 10. Galatians 2 and 10, saints. 2, 1 through 10.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. This time from the interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Then through 14 years again,
uh-huh.
I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taken with also Titus.
Titus.
And I went up according to a revelation.
A revelation.
And I put before them
and
the gospel.
Put before them the gospel.
Which I proclaim among the nations.
Which I proclaim among the nations, the Gentiles. I put before them, because they didn't know it. They had heard of it, but they wasn't in the mix of the gospel that I was preaching to the Gentiles. All right.
I proclaim among the nations of Gentiles privately. But to the seemingly less in vain, I ran.
He went for corroboration. They had walked, ate, slept, and lived with the Lord Jesus. And he wanted corroboration of godly things. All right?
But not Titus, the one with me.
Uh-huh.
A Greek being was compelled to be circumcised.
It wasn't necessary. Just like it ain't necessary for you to tarry. And a couple other things I read on, Pastor.
But on account of the brought in secretly false brethren who stole in to spy on the freedom of us which we have in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
In all of that us they willingly enslave, to whom not for an hour yielded we in subjection, in order that the truth of the gospel might continue with you.
In other words, we have freedom, we have liberty in the grace gospel in Christ. Any other gospel will bind you to conditions. Godliness is right in every dispensation. But conditions for being saved are not in our dispensation. It's not in the gospel. It's not in the dispensation. It's not in the word. Grace.
From but the seeming to be something.
Yes.
Of what kind, then they were nothing to me.
Speaking of Peter, James, and John.
Matters. Face of God. Of a man. As face God of a man. Received not. To me. For the seeming nothing added.
Alright. What he's saying here is what you see in the King James Version. Primarily. That those that seem to be pillars, Peter, James, and John, when he conferred with them, they added nothing else to him. Paul knew the gospel, and he knew the gospel of the kingdom and the law, which the kingdom gospel, amen, were prophesied in the law, but they did not know the gospel of the grace of God, which is the mystery. They didn't know it. So he knew some of theirs, and his was revealed unto him, so they didn't add nothing to him. But he went for corroborating purposes since they had walked with the Lord Jesus. All right. Read on, Pastor.
But on the contrary. Seeing that I have been entrusted the gospel of uncircumcision.
Seeing that I have been entrusted the gospel of the uncircumcision, that's Gentiles, nation people. Remember, the Jews had the rite of circumcision, the sign of circumcision. All right, so he was entrusted the gospel of the uncircumcision.
As Peter of the circumcision.
As Peter was of the circumcision. The gospel of the circumcision, the kingdom gospel, was appointed unto Peter. All right.
For they operated in Peter to an apostleship.
For the Lord is the one, actually. They're operating in Peter to the apostleship of what?
Of the circumcision.
Of the Jews, the circumcision.
Operated also in me to the nations.
Your Bible say the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. He operated in Peter in the gospel to the circumcision. But a different gospel, he was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. There are two gospels. That one is not yours. the one to the Gentile, the gospel of the grace of God, is yours. It has your directives. It has what we can expect, who we are, when we became, and the whole gamut. What's ours, what's not ours. Praise God. How we are to act, how we are to conduct ourselves, how we are to think until we get home in manifestation. Amen. You're already in Christ, but you're not manifested there. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Go ahead and finish that.
And knowing the grace given to me.
And knowing the grace given to me.
James and Cephas.
Mm-hmm.
And John.
And John.
The seamen pillars. To be right. Gave to me and to Barnabas.
Gave him and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship.
Of fellowship.
Go with it, brothers.
In order that we go to the nations.
We'll go to the Gentiles.
But they to the circumcision.
And they to the circumcision. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll stop there. We'll still verse 10, Pastor. Amen. The right message. Back to our original context. Verse 9. Or continuing out of verse 8, the end of verse 8, according to the power of God, or suffer ill with the gospel or good news, according to the power of God. God, the one having saved us and also called us, aorist tense, we were called in eternity. I know most of the saints, God's people, think that they were saved either in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, or the 21st century, or the 50s, or 40s, or the 30s, and I think I've caught everybody going back that far. We think that we were saved somewhere in those time periods. But friends, God called you in eternity according to our gospel.
Amen.
You won't find this in other gospels.
Mm-hmm.
In the other times and other dispensations, Gentiles had to worship on the outer peripheral. You couldn't come in and stand head and shoulders with the Jews. Mm-hmm. Amen. The only way you get blessed was through their residual blessing or that falling from them. But they'd get the mainstay of the blessing. Ask the Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus because her daughter had been vexed with the devil. And the Lord told her, said, let the children first be filled. It's not meet to take the children's bread and give to the dogs. She said, yeah, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Hallelujah. And he blessed her. Amen. So you had, this was a Gentile woman, you had no place. You got the residual or doggy crumbs. But we didn't know that we were members of the body of Christ. God still had it kept secret until he stopped this ravenous mind that raven Paul on the road to Damascus. Amen. And changed his whole way of thinking according to what he had already decreed in eternity. This man ran around here killing Christians and didn't know that he was belonging to God too. He didn't know it. Like in my, running around acting a fool, didn't know that I belonged to the Lord. Oh, I know you all always knew it. Praise God. Having saved us and called us, set apart. Calling, set apart. He set us apart, meaning he sanctified us. Sanctification does not mean a certain way of the hair, no makeup, or none of those things. It simply means God, through calling us in eternity, the call separated us from other people.
Amen.
Amen. You know better than your friend, your neighbor, even your family member. It's just the calling of God. God called his in eternity. He called us. Not according to the works. Not with respect to the works. And you all know, I know it wasn't called the works. It was not according to works. Ecclesiastes 7:20 said, there's not a just man. Corroboration. I'm just going back in another part and confirming our testimony over in Romans. For all have sinned and come short. Going, reaching another part and corroborating. There's not a just man in all the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. None. Not one. The works of us, not according to the works of us. So your works are no determinant. You were saved in eternity, and here's this word, it was manifested in God's own time. Some will not manifest. As I said in the last time up, some are lost before childbirth. Some, praise God, they haven't even heard. I had to come to grips with this one myself. They never heard the gospel to confess or to believe in them hearts. But if God chose all of his in eternity, this one will grab you, might curl your hair. The gospel is not what saved you. The gospel, the good news, tells you that you are saved and what you can expect because you are who you are. Yes. Mr. Harold, if you were saved in eternity, how can the gospel in time save you? It just informs you of what you have according to who you are. Praise Jesus. But it's according to his own purpose and grace.
Yes, Lord.
Grace.
Yes. Thank God.
And that given us in Christ. Nobody else is in Christ. Those saints of the Revelation period are not in Christ.
Yes.
Those saints of Old Testament, all the way from Genesis on up, praise God, to a certain point in the book of Acts. They are not in Christ or members of his, as members of his body. But we are. We are joined unto deity. And so, praise God. He chose us in Christ Jesus before time. Before time, eternal. Eternal. Amen. It's a done deal. So, praise God, if you were chosen in Christ, one more thing I want to inform you of before I go. I'm going to Ephesians chapter 1. And I want us to be clear before we leave here today. What's ours and what is not ours. Amen. The things around us, we just use them for a time. Amen. Your Social Security, your pension, your house, your Mustang or Bentley. Everything you got, you use it for a time. Your 401k, 1b, all of it. You use it for a time. Then you're out of here. Your relationships, amen. Your affections here, my brother, my sister, my family, my mother, my daughter, my boss. That's just a thing for a time. It's not going to be, you're going to be so busy embracing Jesus, only one personality in when we are manifested in the eternal. He will be all and in all. He will be lovely to all of us. Your mama will be embracing him. Matter of fact, the elder brought it out the other Sunday. This is ethnicity is out. In Christ Jesus, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female. You won't have to worry about chauvinism.
Amen.
Praise God. It's out.
Amen.
Ephesians Pastor 1 and 3. And all these ministers running around telling us, get what you can. Your best life now. Grab what you can. Get your stuff back from the devil. Devil need it worse than you do. Let him keep it. Pastor Ephesians 1 and verse 3, and we'll quit.
From
Ephesians 1 and 3.
From the Greek?
Pastor, you can go ahead from the King James Version if you have it. Blessed the God, or high praise the God. I'm going to make the grammatical corrections that Pastor read from the King James Version.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
High praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
Aorist tense, past completed action, who have already blessed us before he brought us on the scene of life and in turn. He blessed us with what?
All spiritual blessings.
Each and every. Sometimes it's translated all with a certain grammatical construction. It's translated each and every.
Mm-hmm.
That construction means each and every. Every spiritual blessing God has blessed us with. Everything around you, use it, but don't abuse it. Use it, but don't cling to it. Don't cling to nothing. If or since ye were risen in Christ, seek those things which are above. And they're not physical. If they're physical, they are temporary. Your health, your good looks, your strength, your shape, your money, your family relationship, everything about you in this environment is temporary. We're going to leave it all. But we are blessed with each and every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies.
In the heavens.
I know your Bible say in heavenly places, but it's also in italics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It means it's not in the original Greek. At least they were honest there. But it's in the heavenlies. Where?
In Christ.
In Christ. We have all, each and every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord may cause you to have a lot in this environment, and he may not. The Lord may bless you with decent health in this environment, and he may not. You haven't been shorted. We prioritizing time, but God is prioritizing eternity. Amen. That's our abode in eternity. Hallelujah. Where nothing will fail. Nothing will run out. We got problems and troubles all around us. Tsunamis and floodings. Amen. And earthquakes. And the economy. And just a mess every which way you look. Crime is up. Amen. And praise God, you want to put your trust here? Hallelujah. We don't even know if our Social Security and pension going to last. You want to put your trust here? Amen. We need to be, reprogrammed in our mind. Only our gospel, keeping us focused on the eternal, spiritual blessings of God, will cause us to focus rightly regarding everything that we can see.
Amen.
Only keeping focus on our gospel, prioritizing the eternal, heavenly, unseen things,
Amen.
Getting those things in our mind, getting brainwashed with those things that are ours before we were even brought here,
Amen.
Will cause and enable us to deal with any and every situation around us. We in worst shape in the world. Praise God. If they get scared, we scared. They tell the Bible, they say, ah! We jump. We jump higher than they do.
Amen.
Amen. Saints, our gospel, specific volume of information, those 14 epistles of Paul from Romans to Hebrews, God gave to him to outline to us who we are, whose we are, what we have, what we can expect, how long we can expect it, which is eternal, and we had it all eternity, amen, and maintain, mine own, those things. God bless you.
Amen.